This morning we speak to Ibrahim Hewitt, senior editor at the Middle East Monitor from Newcastle in the United Kingdom, but spending Ramadan in Azadville. Ibrahim, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Mulana?
Alhamdulillah, and yourself?
Alhamdulillah, barakallahu feek.
You come from a land where people are fasting 21 hours, and now you're fasting 12 hours here in South Africa, but I understand that in one way or the other, this is even harder for you. Tell us more.
Alhamdulillah, bismillah. It's actually just over the first few days, really, because the climate here is very different, the air is thinner, and it's actually, at the moment, it's cold in the mornings and everything, so it's... The first few days definitely feel the fast more than the long fast at the other end. It's like when we have Ramadan in the winter, we have the 10-hour fast. It's because of the cold, it makes it quite difficult. The long fast, as long as you get time and plan your day to make sure that you've got enough time to sleep, alhamdulillah, not an issue. But here it is different. It is different. But I'm getting used to it now. I've been here a week. And alhamdulillah, I'm starting to get used to it, so it's becoming much, much easier, alhamdulillah.
That's the beauty of performing or spending your fast in different parts of the world at different times to get a feel of different places. What is the biggest difference for you in comparison between Ramadan in the United Kingdom and Ramadan in South Africa?
The main thing here, particularly here in Azadville, is the fact that we've got four adhans to keep us going during the day with the salah, and for breaking the fast, and then again fasari time, and it's just the atmosphere is so much more like being in a Muslim country than it is in the UK. There it's all about alarm clocks and looking at the clock rather than following the spirit of the deen and having this communal atmosphere where we're all in it together, which really makes a big difference. I mean, I don't just come here during your winter when it's the short fast. I have done fasting here when it's in the middle of the summer as well, so alhamdulillah. It's just for that particular feeling you get as community. And when you're walking around, and it's, again, particularly in a place like Azadville, where so many Muslims, and you look and everybody's fasting, alhamdulillah, and it's a great feeling of togetherness.
Yes, now you've been in Azadville, but have you visited any of the other suburbs, and what are your overall thoughts of the suburb of Azadville?
I spend a lot of time, usually when I'm here, in the Greenside area, because I have family over there as well. This is home for me. This is where my journey to Islam started, so it's like, I've been coming to Azadville since 1979 as a non-Muslim. And there's a couple of hundred houses here, and that was it. The Dar al-Uloom wasn't here. The mosque was here. That was just about it. So I've seen Azadville develop, and hopefully it's seen me develop with my Islam over the years. Because as I say, this is the place, South Africa. This is where my journey to Islam started. So it's very much like a homecoming every time I'm here. Apart from the fact that all my wife's family are here as well.
How often do you visit South Africa?
Well, it's 2 years since I was here, but that's because I had an issue with my passport last year. I didn't have a passport for most of last year, so we do try to come at least once a year if we can manage it, inshallah. But over the years, sometimes it's been more than that. If I've come over for work, for conferences, meetings, and so on and so forth, but it's always good to get here. Always good.
Now, you with the Middle East Monitor, tell us about your work at the Middle East Monitor and how important it is to keep publishing stories that focus on the Middle East.
Well, the Middle East Monitor is it's an online journal, and we seek to provide the alternative viewpoints, sort of viewpoints which you don't normally see in the mainstream, and the news items that you don't normally see in the mainstream, to try and provide a bit more balance, because we do believe there is an imbalance in the media against the people of Palestine and against the other interest groups, if you like, around the Middle East at the moment. Initially our focus was on Palestine, but it has extended as we've developed and got more, the team of writers has grown and the contributors. We're not just Muslims, there are a good number of academics, non-Muslim academics, and commentators who contribute towards Middle East Monitor, and it makes, I think, for a very good alternative to the mainstream, and we are quoted widely and read widely. Alhamdulillah.
It's based in the United Kingdom. Tell us more about its formation and the reach that it has.
Well, it was started by some of the Dr. Dawood Abdullah, is the director, who was a veteran of the Palestinian movement, and worked for many years with the Palestine Return Center. And it's the intention was to provide this base for writers and support team of editors and technicians and everything to develop the source of information which can give people another view, provide statistics, provide the sort of information which you don't normally get, and then it's to push the case. We are unapologetic in that we try to do this, and we're not following slavishly any particular group. We will be critical of all groups and any groups where we feel that is necessary. But the idea is to give these alternative views an airing. We try to avoid controversy if possible, but it's not always possible in the Middle East. But we are there to try and do this. And it started in the UK, obviously, because that's where we are based. But it is worldwide. I mean, because it's online, people have access to it from all over the world, and it is accessed all over the world. We have good links with some of the major media providers in the Middle East sharing articles, and we get them translated into English and edited, and then we put them out. So it's a joint effort with many, many people working together. But it's become very successful, I'm pleased to say. So alhamdulillah. It does its job, it does what it sets out to do, and that's to provide this alternative view.
Yes, now as you indicate, provide that alternate view. How are you able to do that? What are your sources? Where do you get your information from?
Well, we have a number of sources. I say we have links with some of the major news providers in Turkey, in Palestine, in Egypt, in other places. And we also develop a network of journalists and photographers and photojournalists across the Middle East, from Gaza particularly, the West Bank and Jordan, Lebanon, who are feeding us stories. We have academics who are based in the region, as well as academics who are as far afield as Canada and the US, who provide regular articles and research. And so it's a very, very broad mix that we have. And this opportunity for the particularly the Palestinian journalists, whose perhaps options are very, very limited, even more than most, to create an opportunity for them to not only practice and hone their skills in their profession, but to give them the outlet for what they do. And there's some great work, some very, very talented people in the region, and we're giving at least a few of them the opportunity to show the world what they can do and have their stories told in a very positive way.
While you're in South Africa, do you continue to contribute? Are you still on a sort of work kind of a leaf, or you have totally unplugged and cut off from what's happening at the Middle East Monitor at the moment?
No. I mean, that's the great thing for me. I live in Leicester in the UK. I'm 100 miles from the office. But as long as I've got the internet, I'm online. And this is a working holiday for most of the time. Hopefully have a little bit of a break after Eid, but working holiday for most of the time. And that's good, because I mean there's contacts here who we keep in touch with, and some of the charities here as well, because I'm involved in charity work for Palestine, and so we're involved here in South Africa as well. So it's all good opportunity for catching up with old colleagues and friends, and meeting new guys and moving forward, inshallah.
Is there a greater interest in Islamic-related stories or Muslim-related stories during the month of Ramadan?
I think probably there is, but it's often the stereotypes of fasting around the world and Ramadan in pictures and breaking fast pictures and stuff like that. It tends to focus on the cultural rather than the spiritual. And it's the mainstream need to move away from that. We don't cover any stories like that unless something big happens around in the areas of our focus around the Middle East. But it's in the mainstream, particularly up in Britain at the moment, and the Muslims are part of the news anyway because of the whole immigration debate and the whole what I would believe is an Islamophobia underpinning the mainstream media. Muslims are part of the news on a daily basis, almost for sometimes the right reasons, but all too often for the wrong reasons. And it's so we're at the very centre. So it's important, I think, for Muslims in the media here in South Africa, like Radio Islam, or in the UK with our newspapers and contributors to the mainstream, that we have this opportunity and we push our case strongly and let people know that we are very ordinary people trying to do extraordinary things. And that's something which is very important, because all too often Islam and Muslims are in the media for the wrong reasons. And this is picked up by the Islamophobes and exploited by the Islamophobes. And that's unfortunate, but that's the challenge that we have. And we've got to rise to that and tackle it head on, inshallah.
All the best for your remaining stay in South Africa. We hope you enjoy the atmosphere, and we look forward to chatting to you again in the future from the United Kingdom, picking up on the big stories that the
and salams and Korean to all the listeners, and we hope that we get a chance to see everybody again soon, inshallah.
Inshallah. So, jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Ibrahim Hewitt speaking to us from Azadville. Usually he chats to us from the United Kingdom, and now spending Ramadan in Azadville. And many things that we take for granted, yet these are privileges from Allah, as he outlined. Yes, hearing four azans, it just creates that atmosphere of a Muslim country, which in most parts of the world, even in our so-called former white suburbs, you're unable to hear the azan, like in Houghton and Greenside and all these places. So those living in the formerly traditional Indian areas, it is a real privilege to be able to hear the azan. May Allah give us the ability to appreciate every bounty of His.